Grace be yours and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, the Word of God for our devotion this morning is the Old Testament lesson for today. Dearly loved by God in Christ Jesus, the way that you prepare to display something is about as important as what you're displaying. Think of the stockers in the grocery stores who are always bringing the products right to the very front of the shelves. Or the jeweler who takes his most precious piece and sets it up on a platform or separates it from all the rest. There are many other examples that we could think of. Chefs give a lot of thought into presentation as they give thought to the quality of the food that they're buying. Might we say that to display something means to move beyond our initial impression? Maybe even say that it doesn't just move us along, but it actually carries us along and shows us what we need to see beyond that first impression. Consider Jesus, that little baby lying there in that manger, in that cattle shed, probably gave the first impression that there was really not much important going on here, and that he really wasn't anybody or anything special. And so this morning, behold the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. This takes us beyond first impressions. This moves us along to see who Jesus really is. He is the one about whom Isaiah says the Lord prepared his servant to display his splendor. The Father anointed Jesus, his Son, with the Holy Spirit and with power so that Jesus could publicly now begin his work of being the Messiah. And so we see, first of all, that the Father called his Son to this service, and secondly, that the Son's service extends to the ends of the earth. You know that much of Scripture is prophecy and fulfillment. We just sang about it in our sermon hymn. The baptism of Jesus Christ by John in the Jordan River is the fulfillment of this prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah is not talking about himself. The Son of God is speaking in a messianic prophecy through the mouth of God's servant, Isaiah. Isaiah's words point their God's people to that servant of the Lord and his work to display not his own splendor, but to display the splendor of the one who sent him. And again, we see how the Father's will and the Son's will, the Father's purpose and the Son's purpose are one as Jesus fulfilled that high calling. Jesus is the Lord's servant to display the Lord's splendor. And that is the message of Epiphany, which was last Friday. Up until this time, for the first three decades of his life, Jesus had pretty much remained hidden. The only thing we really hear about him after his circumcision is when he was 12 years old learning God's word in the temple. But Jesus grew up like every other child. Probably as he got older, spent a lot of time at Joseph's side as Joseph went about his carpentering. We're not really surprised, and we can't really be too hard on Jesus' neighbors when Jesus, after his baptism, stood up in the synagogue and read some other words of Isaiah in chapter 61 about how the sovereign Lord had anointed him to come into the world to preach the good news to the poor. And his neighbors said, "Isn't that the carpenter's son? Isn't that the son of Mary and Joseph?" There had not been anything particularly special about Jesus growing up that would have made people think anything other than that he was the child of Mary and the child of Joseph. That is, now until his baptism. We might say that Jesus' baptism is really his coming out, his public entrance into the ministry that he came to do, to live a holy life and die on the cross for us. Now, he had begun it already, didn't he, in his conception, in his birth. We heard last week that it came about through Jesus' circumcision. But now, publicly, Jesus would begin to do miracles. He would begin to declare himself publicly as the Lord's servant, called to display the Lord's splendor. And so the Father now prepared his son for that work. Remember, Jesus was a true human being, just like us, beside being true God. And so the Father gave him the Holy Spirit and gave him power so that he could go about his work. And then the Father publicly identifies and declares that this is my Son. I am well pleased with him. I have prepared him. And now he is going to go out and display my splendor. It is on the baptism of our Lord Jesus that we are able now to look beyond the outward appearance of Jesus. This is a good place to mention the Magi, who often are related with Epiphany, as they came to worship Jesus perhaps 2 years after his birth. How in the world did they know what house to go to? What did they know? Where would they find what baby that they were supposed to go to? Well, the star led them there, and God had revealed to them that this simple child, perhaps now a toddler, is his eternal son, and not only the Savior of the Jews, but also the Savior of the Gentiles. So now those Gentiles discovered the same thing that the shepherds discovered, that everything that the Lord had told them about was true, that it was just exactly as it had been planned out, that this child is not only the Savior to call Jacob and Israel back to the Lord, but to call the Gentiles as well. Up until Jesus' baptism, Jesus was like a sword that was hidden in the hand of a soldier. He was like a polished arrow that was hidden in a quiver. But now, at his baptism, the sword is unsheathed. The living Word of God would now go out into the hearts of men. That arrow of Jesus Christ would now go out into the hearts of men Jew and Gentile alike, to call them to faith. The Lord's servant was prepared to display the Lord's splendor by receiving the name Israel. Remember, God changed Jacob's name to Israel because Jacob would be the fountainhead of God's people. He would be the one from whom the Savior would come. He would be the head of the church. Well, the Lord's servant, Jesus, would bear that name also because he is the fountainhead of our salvation, of our faith. He is the head of the church as that church now goes out into the world. And so at his baptism, the Lord called his servant and prepared that servant to display his splendor by giving him the Holy Spirit and power and by identifying him from heaven. This would be such a wonderful thing that the Lord's servant, that the Son's service would extend to the ends of the earth. You know, sometimes there's news that's just so good and exciting that it has to be shared. You know, like the birth of a child, birth of a grandchild, getting in that school that you applied to and you really wanted to go to, or getting that new job, or whatever it might be. The news is just so good that more than just a few people should hear about it. And that's exactly what Isaiah, or the Lord, says here in Isaiah. He says, so this is the Father now speaking to Christ. It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I also will make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. This Savior was so great that it would not just be for God's chosen people. Yes, there was some immediate application to Jesus or to Isaiah's words, as God would prepare for himself a remnant of those carried off into captivity, as he would preserve his church and extend that church out into the world. But now the other nation around the world would hear that revelation, that epiphany of Christ. Think of those magi from the east. We don't know really exactly where they were from, but they returned home after they saw Jesus and worshiped him. And when they got home, they told other people what they had seen and what they had heard, what God had told them about this child. So even before Pentecost, almost four decades before Pentecost, the gospel of Jesus Christ was being spread in the Middle East, perhaps even as far already as the Far East, as these Gentile magi took the gospel home. And then later on Pentecost, when the nations from the Mediterranean basin gathered together and heard the disciples speaking the wonderful works of God in their own language, then they carried that good news out to others. The Lord's splendor is beyond what meets the eye. And Jesus' baptism reveals that splendor of God's grace and God's salvation for the whole world. Where would we be if God had said, you know, I'm only going to show Mary and Joseph and these shepherds that Jesus is the Savior, And we're not going to tell anybody else. We're just going to keep it to ourselves among God's people. Well, you and I would be without God. We would be without hope in this life. And we would have no hope for the life to come in the future. At his baptism, Jesus became the focal point of all nations to see in him that one and only Savior. How important it is, thinking back to our introduction, how important it is for us to keep Jesus out front. How important it is for us to always place Jesus on a pedestal. To have Jesus and our teachings of Jesus set a little bit apart from all the other teachings, not that they don't involve him, but as the central teaching of our faith. How important it is in our preparation, the way that we present Jesus to the world, so they can do what? So they can see beyond their first impression. Hey, here's a very holy man. Here's a great teacher. Here's certainly a good example of godliness. Here's another great prophet like Moses or Muhammad. But by keeping Jesus out front, by putting Jesus on a pedestal, by presenting Jesus as the Scripture presents him, we let people and move people beyond their initial impression of this lowly, humble child born in a manger, of this lowly, humble man being nailed to a Roman cross as the Holy Spirit moves them to see, here is my Savior from sin. Here is the one who was holy for me, who bore my sins, who bore my punishment, my damnation, so that I could live forever with God. The book of Isaiah is called the Gospel of the Old Testament, because that book, more than any in the Old Testament, points to Jesus and has Jesus speak about that wonderful work that he came to do, to manifest the splendor of his Father. Because it's not only the splendor of his Father, but it's also his own. Now we see Jesus outside the empty tomb. Now we see Jesus ruling all things as king from the right hand of God. Now you and I experience Jesus ruling our hearts and our minds every day of our lives and assuring us of the forgiveness of our sins. When we think of all those things, we have to say, what a glorious display of splendor by the Lord's servant who began with such humble beginning. Amen. And now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.